This is the problem with doing a show around the holidays. When people are coming and going, you want to wish them, and you do the hugs, and you're saying hello to everybody, and it takes time. So we were almost running out of holiday.
We're very festive.
We are very festive, absolutely. Let me introduce everybody. We'll introduce everybody in our festive spirit here, and then we'll talk a little bit about what we're up to, and then we'll invite you to join us this morning. First of all, welcome to Mr. Festive. Alan Chartok is
yes,
here.
Yes, I wore my Elvis tie today.
You know, when I walked in this morning, they said, oh, Alan has an Elvis tie on. It looks great.
Yeah.
And then I couldn't wait to see you because you were in the studio recording. It's a striking tie.
It's young and old Elvis.
Yes, it is. Yes, and album covers I have not seen before, which are very cool.
He died at 42.
I thought it was a little older, but maybe you're right.
That's right about, 1977?
August
16th.
So there never was. My point is there never was an old Elvis.
That is true. Well, physically. It was an older Elvis, yes.
He actually died the same day that Babe Ruth died, by the way. Wow. Elvis Presley and Babe Ruth died
on
the same day. August 16th.
Not
the same year,
day.
But the same date.
Oh,
August 16th.
Okay.
Right. Babe died
in 48. Elvis had bad habits, but they weren't hot dogs.
No, they were not.
Barbara Smith is here, our wonderful Barbara Smith, who normally is with us on Friday, but we're not going to be on the air on Friday, so she, the show isn't, we certainly, as a radio station, will be, but Barbara joins us today instead, and we thank you very much. It's a delight to have you here.
Thank you so much. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning. And Stu Shinsky, the editor of the Poughkeepsie Journal, joins us, and again, it's normally a Thursday thing with Stu, but we're recording early to make way for the holidays, and it's very nice to have you with us today.
Always a pleasure. Always appreciate
it. Thank you very much for making it up the pike in foggy, rainy conditions.
And it was tough this morning.
Well, so...
So we drive a little slower, that's all.
It's going to be 70 degrees tomorrow.
Isn't that wacky?
Very weird.
Merry Christmas.
That just seems very strange to me.
What I want to know is, what's it going to be in Miami?
Well, that's a good point, and it all seems very odd. But I have dandelions growing in the yard.
People are talking about the plants that they're seeing, which means that I guess they're not going to come back.
There's like all kinds of bunnies are out, and I saw a robin. I mean, that's none of that's normal, right?
It's freaky.
Yeah, and then you just have to wonder if we're going to pay for it.
We're going to get probably slammed.
From
January
probably.
To August.
We will be slammed.
So we'll enjoy it now. Is that our takeaway? First of all.
It's later than you think.
Yes.
Enjoy yourself. It's later than you think. Great song.
It is, for those of us who are around. Here we go in the Wayback Machine.
Not by Elvis.
The Wayback Machine.
When you said it's later than you think, I thought that was, wasn't that also a line from A Christmas Carol?
Is it?
Yeah. Mr. Scrooge is later than you think.
Really?
Hmm. Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah. You're asking the Jewish guy that question.
Okay, I'm sorry. Well, let us go to... just a reminder. So tomorrow and Friday, we will... The roundtable will not be on. We have special programming. We're going to do our typical holiday fair, which we normally do. But the Carol of the Bells, what you normally hear from England, that'll be aired tomorrow. Special programming on Christmas Day, of course. So we'll be back on Monday. So today is our last show for this week, and then we'll be back on Monday. Just a reminder. So if you tune in tomorrow and you want to get mad about items in the news, you just save it for Monday. That's kind of the takeaway. All right, let's go to. Do you want to say schlonged this early in the morning?
Are you allowed to say that?
Does the FCC need to know? I guess is the question.
Well, it's been said everywhere. NPR has certainly said it. So.
Okay, so it's a bit of a grotesque term, right?
It
refers to some degree to some of the male anatomy, right?
Well, to some degree.
But now it's been made into a verb.
Yes.
A verb.
So now the Washington Post has done... the Washington Post has looked at the linguistics of this. And this comes to us, a courtesy of Republican frontrunner Donald Trump. who used a campaign stop on Monday to make an attack against Democratic frontrunner Hillary Clinton. Now, in that, he said that in her run with
primary
with Barack Obama, he said that he didn't know which one was worse, Obama or Clinton, but she was such a weak candidate that she got, quote, schlonged by Obama.
Meaning okay. She lost big.
Right.
Yes.
So now the debate is that just vulgar or is that sexist?
I think I have a view of what really is going on here. And I've said this before. I think that Donald Trump has an audience that rejects PC. In other words, we want to tell dirty jokes in the back of the firehouse and nobody could tell us we can't do that. We want to have a full-length picture of Marilyn Monroe in her birthday suit in a bathroom, and we want to have all of these things. And he's appealing to those people who reject the new rigidity of PC, and which I fully understand because I think, look, if you make fun of somebody or if you bully or if you start to characterize their religion or who they are, or if they're a woman or stuff, that's terrible. And that's why we have new social conventions. But he's reaching back, and he is saying when he uses words like that, knowing full well what he's doing, that he is appealing to the crowd who is not happy with the new rules.
Yes, and it's not just dirty jokes. It's also racist jokes.
Yes, absolutely.
And homophobic jokes.
Absolutely.
So, and anti-Muslim jokes. So I think it's really quite serious. PC is a term that was, I think, coined by those who did want to live in that Wayback Machine. Where everything went, everything goes, and you could be as vicious to those you consider to be less than and your inferiors as you wish to be, and there were no repercussions.
Well, so let me ask a news question,
sure.
Which is, so he has, he called Rosie O'Donnell in the first debate a pig and scum, and then he called... and then there were the questions about Megyn Kelly's
yes.
menstrual cycle.
Yes.
And then he made fun of the disabled reporter for the New York
yes.
Times. And now there's this. So if you put that into a larger context, I don't know, would we be talking about this if it was just this event? Or is this
no,
just
no,
all
would.
Part of the show?
I think we would. I mean, is it a pattern? You could say it's part of a pattern. What I found interesting is that Jeff Greenfield,
yes.
the commentator,
yes.
came out and defended Trump.
And saying?
Saying, basically, it's a New York thing. You're
okay.
not going to get it in the Midwest.
So that means
I'm a
Jewish,
New York,
right?
Mean, maybe. I don't know.
That was Alan King's always his assertion that when people say
Jewish
New York, you can put in the word Jew.
Greenfield apparently said that it's a New York phrase. And I mean, I was born in Brooklyn. I grew up on Long Island. I've never had it used as a verb.
Well,
it was in this example.
The Washington Post says, Trump's problem, he's a Gentile who linguistically may have wandered too far from home.
Yes, that could be it.
But then there's a question of
But it's also the larger pattern.
I think it's purposeful. As I said before, I think it's purposeful. I think he's appealing to a group. And the question is, how many of them are there? Enough to win an election?
And then, but the thing is, okay, so there's a news thing of and a political thing of, is it a pattern? And also, is he doing it consciously? It's not a dog whistle. It's a billboard and a full brass band. That's the level it's on as far as the decibel level. It's not just a dog whistle. But in any event, there's a social meaning of it, too. And you say, you know, that it's a term that you heard.
No, I never heard it. Jeff Greenfield says he heard
no,
it.
No, I, of course,
so
heard
did
it.
You ever,
well,
I
grew
up,
noun,
I grew up
noun,
on the west
noun,
side
that's
of
what
it.
I mean.
Yes.
No, I'm not talking about it being
yeah.
a verb. I
yeah.
mean, it is a recognized
as
slang.
As a noun, I would say it's a somewhat common idiom.
Right, okay.
Yes.
But the thing is,
in
like,
the New York
who
City
did
area.
He say it about? And what was he? And what did it mean in the sentence?
Sure, he said it about Hillary.
And what would be another? They actually talked about the other word that he could have used had he
yes.
gone there.
Yeah.
The
F word. I'll just say that.
That's right. Now we'll have more on that in a moment. But
more on that coming up.
Yes, that is true. We're actually having the actor on today, who was the first actor ever in a major motion picture to say the F word on film.
Really.
Yes.
Who's that?
Conrad John Shuck. in Robert Altman's MASH.
Can you say?
Oh, okay.
Wow! Can you say Shuck on the radio?
if you can say Schlong.
So the last time, thanks to the fact checkers, the very fact checkers that Donald Trump has dismissed so roundly, that the last time he used this phrase was back in several.
I think it's 2011.
2011. The House race.
In regards to Obamacare, right?
I think he said something that Walter Mondale, his ticket.
Geraldine Ferraro and Walter Mondale. Yes, so he was talking about another.
Yes,
campaign,
another race.
Campaign.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it has been uttered by him before.
Yes.
So at what point are we going to just not care and give up and just say
just Trump? I mean, he has this magnetism about him where he can just get that discussion going and get the turbulence churning, and there'll be more of this one way or the other. And you know what? Okay, some may feel it's an objectionable word, and some may say, nah, it's a New York thing. And apparently a reporter for the New York Times said that Nelson Rockefeller and Daniel Patrick Moynihan also used to use this phrase.
As a verb,
yes. Mm-hmm. Alex Burns of the New York Times. So I think there'll be more of this from Trump, and then he'll let the chips fall where they may. And frankly, he won't care.
Well, we've got a good deal of mail on this already.
I'm sure.
All right, so let's go to it.
David says, dear folks, this morning on American Dialect Society listserv, one of the members posted the following. Yermak and his followers decided not to wait for the official results. They knew there would be no startling changes in the trend. As Ellen Turkish, running for Council 68, put it, we got schlonged. David Dubkin, Korn and IRT, Slate, victorious in SG election. Okay, we got the idea. Thank you for that, David. And John says, Donald Trump is an egoistic, loudmouth know-it-all. He has no right running for president or any other office. God help us. If he's elected, go Hillary.
Can I just say one thing, to interrupt slightly? We've got a few letters over the last two or three days of people saying that we are doing a journalistic disservice by talking about him. I just want to remind people, he's the front runner of the Republican Party.
Absolutely.
It's
right.
Not
indeed.
Like we are, you know, it's not, it ain't a sideshow anymore, ladies and gentlemen. And you know, the mm-hmm. Huffington Post, when he first ran, the Huffington Post said, we're going to treat this campaign as entertainment, and we're going to put it on the entertainment page. And everybody laughed and thought that that's a great place for it. And then after the Muslim comments, Arianna Huffington came out and said, you know what? It's not funny anymore. Mm-hmm.
And this is
news.
And by the way, Molly said exactly the same thing. She said, this is a big country, being from Minnesota, where people are more polite. I don't think you can use the excuse that it's a New York thing. Our leaders must be sensitive enough to care about all of us. I wish I could just ignore him. However, she says, we are forced to have this conversation.
This is an American referendum now on whether or not this guy is a quote-unquote serious and potentially worthy president.
And Jeff says,
we get to find that out, you know, in Iowa, right? And in New Hampshire. And,
right, over the next
few
months.
Yeah, we get to find that out.
Jeff says, I'm really sad that George Carlin isn't around for this campaign cycle. And, of course, that's
me too.
In reference to the six words.
The seven words you cannot say.
Yeah. And he was a brilliant political
commentator.
Right, indeed.
Although we don't please everybody, Donald Trump has not spent one dime in advertising, not needed to. His outrageous behavior has gotten you, media types, talking about him incessantly, a classic case of the tail wagging the dog. I am now turning off any news coverage, including the roundtable talks of Trump, as it is not pertinent to policy, but only the purient interest of those who most likely would not vote in the general election or its ratings grab by the media. Let me just say, wrong. And I'm going to tell you why it's wrong. Because if this guy is elected president of the United States, you'll find out about policy fast enough.
You can't shoot the messenger here.
Well, and again, we're talking about the front runner.
Thank you, Joe, yes.
The front runner. And I don't know. And by the way, I mean, the way he has ripped the media, I don't think anybody in the media really wants to help him either.
And there's also like what his being the front runner tells us about our country.
It does.
It tells us a lot.
That, to me, is the most upsetting part of it, because I live here as well. And I'm a person who's a target of all kinds of hate thought, if not hate action. So...
So I'm starting to get slightly annoyed when people say that we shouldn't do
it's
it,
awful.
And we shouldn't cover it, and we do, and because it is reflective of what is happening in the society, and if we don't discuss it, Well, then what's going to happen?
And may I point out one more time, 1938. That's what people were saying about Hitler.
Right.
Ignore him. He'll go away.
And if we did not cover Mr. Trump, we would be accused of a vast left-wing Democratic agenda.
Well, we'll continue that in just a moment. We're going to take a news break, and then we'll work on our left-wing agenda, and then we'll be back after we've typed it up and put it into our manifesto. Alan Chartok is here. Barbara Smith, Stu Shinsky. I'm Joe Donahue. We welcome your comments. WAMC.org/roundtable is where you can post them online. WAMC.org/roundtable. We will return to our conversation after this short break. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. And we welcome your input, roundtable at WAMC.org, WAMC.org/roundtable, WAMC.org/roundtable. We'll go to a couple letters and then we'll move on to other topics.
All right. David says, hello, everyone. I think that you all should just talk about other Republican candidates. In other words, he's telling us who to talk about now. It is psychologically proven that people like the underdog, the one that is ripped by the media. Thus, people end up liking Trump. So instead of talking about him, talk about other candidates instead. Love the show. And we love you, David. Thank you. Constantine says, hi, everyone. Happy holidays. Instead of 38, try 68. Remember, LBJ was unbeatable as of 1267. Come 168, all heck broke loose, and we ended up 2 months later with I shall not seek and will not accept the nomination. Okay. And Henry says, hi, all. Ted Cruz used his wife and children in a political ad. The Washington Post ran a cartoon portraying the two Cruz kids as monkeys. The Post pulled the cartoon. Will you be discussing this? Well, Henry, you just did, right?
That was just awful. I saw that cartoon. It was just awful what that cartoon did. Those kids should not be a political.
What were they trying to convey? And who are his kids? And why would they think to portray them that way?
I don't know the motive behind the cartoon, but I also don't know why they would have run it in the first place.
Depicting them as monkeys.
Well, that's what they did to the Obamas, but. You know, we're used to that. That's common for black people. But the thing is, that's a common stereotypical racist thing to do. But I'm mystified as to why they would do it about his children.
And again, it has been pulled, but for whatever.
Anyway, Paul says, hi, it is my concern, not what he says, but that there are so many people who like him. And Lisa says, I'm not listening to any of my old media stations, including MSNBC. It's one thing to mention Trump, it's another to keep the American people from knowing any other candidates, Republicans or Democrats. She thinks she's been dissed by our doing this. Adam says, Trump candidacy is depressing for what it says about the state of American politics. Correct. And Kay says, Donald Trump's comments are both sexist and vulgar, even if previously directed at a man, which still has emasculating undertones. A president must be thoughtful enough to reflect on his audience. The image that comes to my mind is of a woman's face being slapped around by a man's penis, period. Michael says, hi, can you please discuss how Cruz can run for president when he's born in Canada? The court, the law, the Constitution, it has been said many times on the Supreme Court, is what we say it is. And a lot of people have been born out of the country and have found a way around it. You know, they were born in an embassy, they were born here, they were born there. So the answer is, apparently, according to the Constitution, you have to be born here. But again, it's what they say it is. No, you're looking strangely.
Well, I would really like to know chapter, line, and verse of it all.
Well, meaning
I've heard that raised as an issue, but his parents were both from the United States. Is that true?
Yes, I think so.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought the law was you cannot serve as president, but there's no ban about running for president.
Dennis from Niskayuna says, two brief points. There seems to be little coverage of what tends to happen in the Trump rallies, namely harassment and physical altercations, particularly when some do not fit the, quote, look of Americans. Two, there should be more scrutiny on his past activities to show the nation who he really is. Well, I don't know if you've been reading the New York Times lately, but they're doing a heck of a job. They really are. Looking closely at Trump, and
Trump has bashed all those sort of fact checking efforts as basically just another liberal conspiracy.
Yes,
Okay,
facts.
So
by the way, left wing conspiracy.
Senator Cruz's mother born in this country. His father was born in Cuba, of course.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Huh. Okay. Huh. Well, Michael says hi. Oh, yeah, we did that already. That's Cruz. The origin of the term PC came from college students in the mid-1980s who were mocking the hypocrisy of their professors as being dogmatically rigid to the left, as the professors of the previous were dogmatically rigid to the right. Only later did PC become the shield that every bigot bleated when they were called on the carpet for being rude jerks. Wayne says, Trump is like Edward G. Robinson in Ten Commandments movie. There's always a rabble willing to follow a fool and idolize a golden calf. Kevin says, I don't think you should ignore Trump, but you seem obsessed with him. I don't need to hear about him every day on your roundtable discussion. And Daniel says, while acknowledging the coarseness of his tone, I agree. A measure of people in this country are also tired of being accused of being racist, haters, ignorant, etc., because they disagree with a liberal mindset. These are the people supporting the Donald. And Henry says, I know there's one. Oh, yeah. So that's right. He says, I know that I can't write more than one, but I'm doing. But then I'm not reading it. Okay. So, right. Are you following?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
So you're ready to move, or are we good?
Yes and no. There's okay. Always more.
Oh, all right. Well, let's take a break here. Not a break, but we'll just go on and to talk about some other things.
Joe, can I say one more thing about the letters?
Yes.
Somebody wrote me an offensive letter the other day that said you promised to read every single letter. I did not, I never have, and I never will.
It's not possible.
No, it's not.
It's just not physically possible.
Well, unless you just want a show of us reading letters.
That's what I was going to say. We could spend 3 hours. You could spend 3 hours.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not that they're not appreciated. It's that there's
just
that.
Well, when you get the tenor of it after a while.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. There's that time thing that we
I think a representative cross-section of the comments are shared on the air.
Yes, that's
thank you,
true.
Stu.
Yes.
A day after grand jurors decided not to issue indictments in connection with the death of Sandra Bland in a Texas jail, lawyers for her family urged prosecutors to press for criminal charges against the state trooper who arrested Ms. Bland. Ms. Bland, an Illinois resident who was moving to Texas to start a new job, was arrested on July 10th after a routine traffic stop in Prairie View, northwest of Houston, was taken to the Waller County Jail. 3 days later, she was found hanging from a trash bag in her cell. A police dashboard camera video that gained national attention after its release showed the arrest escalating into a violent confrontation between Ms. Bland and the arresting trooper, Brian Encinia.
And he was following her. And she moved or, changed lanes because the police car was following her. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes.
I don't think it was that he saw her change lanes without signaling and then followed her. It was because she was already being followed, if I understand and remember the first, moments of this incredibly egregious situation.
So the grand jurors, we talked about this yesterday, grand jurors decided not to issue indictments. Now comes the family saying that they want prosecutors to press for criminal charges.
Against the trooper who pulled her over.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And we wonder what the chances of that happening are.
Joe, I did find one letter I wanted to read from David DeSantis, who said the Constitution requires a president to be a natural-born citizen, not a native-born citizen. Since one of Cruz's parents was an American citizen, he was an American citizen in birth and thus a natural-born citizen and thus eligible for the presidency. Whether he should be elected is a separate question. That's from David.
That's good.
Good answer.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, how do we know what the chances are? I mean, my understanding is it the district attorney or the prosecutor who coordinating the grand jury effort? I heard him say that it was ongoing and that there may be a future, a future arrest. That's what I heard him say. And this is, of course, on television news.
And obviously you have the family, as many of us yesterday were saying, we don't quite understand it. Obviously, the family is going to be in that same boat, too.
Yes. Her sister was interviewed on Morning Edition this morning. And as always, I'm so impressed by her because she was visible right after this incident happened. I don't see how she maintains the level of composure, the level of being able to respond to questions about, obviously, the most horrible thing that has ever happened to her and her family in their lives. But she was, as usual, completely lucid and very, very sharp and open to the questions that were being asked, and just maintained that this was not like what she would expect from her sister. And her sister had everything to live for. She was a woman in her 20s with a college degree. I don't know if she had a master's, but she had just been hired by her alma mater in a professional position.
And even if the grand jury decides not to do anything with the police officer involved here, okay, what does the department do? Did he follow all of the parameters? Did he pull her out of that car unnecessarily?
He absolutely taunted her.
He threatened to taser her. Were these proper uses of the department's protocols in these situations?
And why was there such an adversarial relationship between him and a young woman? Why was it so adversarial? What's the factors? What are the factors in there that would make it like that as opposed to the comparable person? But the thing is, women in relationship to police, I'm not going to pretend like it's only about race. Women also are terribly misused and abused in those encounters because of that power, that power dynamic. Mm.
The other story that made news this morning was that a report was done, an investigation was done by the Washington Post. This Sandra Bland case is not a shooting, but it certainly dealt with police officers, and they looked at police officers who were involved in fatal shootings. And they say that more than 50 police officers involved in fatal shootings this year had previously fired their guns in deadly on-duty shootings, according to a Washington Post investigation. For a handful of officers, it was their third fatal shooting. For one officer, it was his fourth.
And this is apparently the first time this information has been compiled in this manner. There is no federal database, which I found astounding.
I know we talked, Rosemary at spoke about this one time, about the history of that, and it is fascinating that that data has never been compiled before.
The Washington Post had to do it.
Yes.
Yes, and it is unusual to find a policeman firing a gun. I worked with a police commissioner in New York, and I once asked him, I said, Patrick V. Murphy, I said to him, and he came up through emergency services, which is a place you could find guns being fired. I said, how many times have you fired your gun in your long and distinguished career? And he said, none.
And this story from the Washington Post said that in L.A. this year, there have been 20 police officer-involved shootings. In New York City, only 8. To your point about how often you fire your gun. In all of New York City, only 8 times has there been an officer-involved shooting, compared to almost 3 times that in L.A.
Yeah, I wanted to make...
But still, both of those are relatively small numbers.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
But I wanted to make a point in reaction to something that Barbara just said. The reason that I think that this shooting of a brilliant young woman who was taunted, told to get down on the ground and everything, is so extraordinary is compared to the other terrible killings that have occurred. A cop shoots 16 bullets into somebody who's running away.
Walking away.
Or walking away. But in many of those, not all of them, but many of those, that person had a gun or had something with them. This story that we've been talking about this morning is about a woman who had none of that happening. There was no accusation of having broken a law. It was terrible, really.
One of the things that came out at the time that I'm remembering now is that there is a history of negative relationships with the police around Prairie View A&M. Which is a historically black college.
Sure.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes, absolutely.
University, actually. And that is not surprising because, the very existence of an institution of higher learning that is a black institution, for some, that would be, I'm going to show these people. I'm going to show them who's really running this.
And if I remember right, the Cincinnati case involved a campus officer as well. The Cincinnati incident where the guy was pulled over and then tried to get away and was shot in the incident.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll get some more letters. We will get to another topic or two. And we welcome you to join us, WAMC.org.
Support for WAMC comes from the New York State Bar Association's Lawyer Referral and Information Service, serving the public for over 30 years, nysba.org/lawyer-referral. Clear Yoga in Rhinebeck and Iyengar Yoga Practice. Jessica Becker presents the workshop Begin With Your Core, Exploring the Yoga Core, Sunday, January 3rd, clearyogarhinebeck.com. The Arthur Zankel Music Center at Skidmore College, a cultural resource for the upstate region, providing a teaching, recording, and performance venue with rental options available, skidmore.edu/Zankel. And Traditions Linen's Factory Outlet, Claverick. Finds from the factory for bed, bath, and home, plus current collections and natural fibers, traditionslinens.com.
Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable and to our panel discussion. A few minutes left in this section, and we thank you very much for being with us. We welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org, or you can post them online, WAMC.org/roundtable. Just go to WAMC.org. You'll see where it says panel. For today, which is the 23rd of December, it says 12/23/15. Click on that and you can make your comment there. Meanwhile, Al will read some of the letters.
Okay, anything you say, Joe. Jamie says, while the action of the arresting officer was criminal, his actions did not cause the death of Ms. Bland. What happened in those days in jail, in those 3 days in jail, and why she was held for 3 days is a more severe crime. Probably right, but if the officer hadn't been stupidly arresting her and teasing her and pushing her, she wouldn't have been in jail and she wouldn't be dead, right?
That's right. I mean, first cause, in other words. I mean, I think they can look at everybody, as far as I'm concerned, but I think that looking at the arresting officer is certainly a place to start.
Bonnie says, other news. So Carolina Town banned solar panels for interfering with photosynthesis, using up the sun's energy and causing cancers. The complaint comes from a local science teacher. I have no printable words for this, said Bonnie. Well, you learn a lot about things when you're sitting here, don't you? You
didn't know. Yeah, I'd heard about that story.
Oh, you did?
Actually.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's see here. Okay, I don't know. And Robert says, with all due respect, folks, you should listen to an air check tape of yourself. Trump is making the stupidity of almost all Americans incandescently clear, demonstrating there's no such thing as bad publicity and stirring up true self-righteous moral outrage over rude comments. Funny, isn't it, how the supposedly enlightened electorate keeps insisting they want to hear about issues. Okay, and then he goes on, but that's enough of that.
I think that's been covered on this program.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't get that.
Yeah, no, it has. It has. Oh, boy. And then Stephen says, no, we did that already. Oh, you know, I did it to you guys. But he says, what do you expect? And I have to be very careful here, from a S-C-H-L-M-U-C-K. In other words, you can't use the word that he's sort of paraphrasing here, because that would be a dirty word. So he puts an L into it to make sure that we're on the safe side. Either that, or he mistyped.
Or a spell check, right.
Mistyped.
Or he doesn't know what the word is.
The word.
Well, that's often the problem, isn't
yes.
it?
Yes.
Well, you may remember.
All you Yiddish speakers out there, WAMC.org.
you all may remember that Steve Allen on his program. Do you remember Steve Allen?
Yes, of course.
Yes, I do.
Of course, Allen.
Started the Tonight Show.
In reruns.
Tonight Show.
He used to yell at the top of his voice, Schmick, 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 Schmick. And everybody knew what he was yelling. Don't you
yes.
see?
I don't know what that word means, but maybe you can't say what it means.
No, the word itself means penis.
Oh, I see.
And mm-hmm. I have told
well,
this,
not schmeck, but
no,
the
but
real
what
word.
What they're referring to.
Right.
And as you have all heard the story too many times, Mario, on Mean Mario at one point, decided that he was going to call me a name.
Mm-hmm.
And so he kept using the P word, which mm-hmm. refers to penis. And he used it again and again, and I kept saying, you can't use that word on the show, Governor, because you know it means penis. And so
he but again, kept, there was a movie with that. Like we can use like you can use that. Right?
I didn't realize that was a banned word.
Yeah, I think you can use.
Well,
it.
We have to assume all words are banned.
I mean,
yeah, that's why I asked about.
There was a movie called Dinner with Schmucks, which so that was I mean that was in.
Well, but that was the word. So I said that's the word. He said, "No, it's not that word that starts with P U."
Oh, that word.
T and then
There's no movie with that.
Something
in it
at
yet.
The end of word. At the end of the at the end of the word. Okay, so he calls up after the show.
It's
and
a
says,
golfing movie.
he calls up after the show and says, "We have to do it again." And I said, "Why is that?" He said, "You were right."
It's a big language getting bigger every day.
Yes,
but I also like Joe something you said before, which I think is so true. Particularly, I find it in the Berkshires, which is that every time the word New Yorker is used, it quite frequently is an anti-Semitic slur. So that, for example, we once had an incident where a guy came and he didn't do his job, and he kept saying to me, "You New Yorkers, you pushy New Yorkers." I always had a feeling of, you know, what that meant.
I interviewed Alan King, the late comedian, years ago, and he said that throughout when he would do a project and he would go in and they say, "It's too New York." And he said what they're saying is that it's too Jewish. Mm-hmm. And that was his feeling. And then whenever they would say, you know, play in New York, wouldn't play here. And so that seems just to be kind of code.
Yeah. We often have codes.
Yeah.
We should do a whole show on codes. Mm. What you mean when you say something else?
So we have 4 minutes. Anybody want to talk about anything we want to forget? Any that we don't want to forget? Any holiday greetings? Anything anybody wants to share?
I just want to say I saw the movie In the Heart of the Sea.
Oh,
and
you did.
I don't know if you did anything about it on the round table, since I can't listen every hour every day.
We did not, but I know there was a lot done on the network.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the point?
Well, I really like the movie, and that it's like the origin story for Moby Dick, which is the great American novel, as far as I'm concerned. And
directed by Ron Howard, right?
Yeah. So if they're Melville fans out there, I think it's a really interesting movie.
Still playing in our region.
Mm-hmm.
Alan, do you have anything you want to share?
Yes, I wanted to say to all our people, have a Merry Christmas, a Happy Hanukkah, wonderful Kwanzaa. And I'm saying all of those words because there is some PC stuff that makes me angry. And I think we should be allowed to talk to each other and to talk about those things. That's all I want to say.
All right.
It's nice to give gifts, but just keep in mind the spiritual meaning behind the holiday that you celebrate.
You bet.
That's right. And if you're going to give a gift,
give a nice gift.
Or if you
a year subscription to the Poughkeepsie Journal be a lovely gift.
Or to the WAMC lockbox, if I might.
Barbara's book. You know, there's all things that you can give.
How nice. That's I was thinking, what do I have?
Remember the guy who put the L in the other word?
Yes.
He just wrote us and said, not a typo.
Well, we can't top that, so we'll end it there.
His Christmas gift to us.
Stu Shinsky, Barbara Smith, Alan Chartok. Have a wonderful, wonderful holiday. We'll be back here on Monday. Thank you so much, and be well.
And you
enjoy
too,
the warm weather.
Thank you for all you do.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.